This is the Ethanol Report. Prices for ethanol are down right now, which means that drivers are saving money at the pump when they fill up with ethanol blends. But they could be saving even more if blenders could add up to 15% ethanol in regular gasoline. Jeff Cooper, Vice President of Research for the Renewable Fuels Association, explains.
E10 right now, 10% ethanol blends are a tremendous bargain for drivers. At the wholesale level, we've got gasoline at around $2.30 a gallon, and ethanol is about 80 cents less per gallon than that at about $1.50 a gallon. So when you blend 10% ethanol with 90% gasoline, you get a product, E10, that at the wholesale level is priced at about $2.22. So you got an 8 cent savings just on E10 alone. When you factor the tax credit in that blenders get when they blend ethanol, there's an additional 4.5 cents that could potentially pass through to the driver. So E10 alone, we're seeing about a 10 or 12 cent discount to regular unleaded gasoline that would not have ethanol. We're making the case that if blenders were allowed to blend E15, 15% ethanol, you'd have another 5 or 6 cent discount on top of what we're seeing with E10. So in total, you could see about a 19 or 20 cent discount between E15 and regular unleaded. So we just wanted to call people's attention to the economics of ethanol blending right now and kind of underscore the point that if drivers had more access to more ethanol, they'd certainly see lower prices at the pump right now.
Besides that, it looks like that we are getting closer than ever to the ethanol blend wall, according to some of the things that I've heard lately from USDA economists. How close does RFA estimate we are to the blend wall crashing in on us?
If you look at the Department of Energy's January ethanol production numbers that were just recently released, those numbers did indicate that we're producing an amount of ethanol that is roughly equivalent to 10% of gasoline demand right now. So that would indicate that we're producing about as much ethanol as the market can handle in the form of E10. So it absolutely makes sense to raise that blend wall to E15 or somewhere higher than E10, certainly, to allow the additional product to come into the marketplace and to allow consumers to enjoy the benefits of increased ethanol availability.
Now, EPA indicated last year that if they did grant a waiver up to 15%, that it would only be limited to newer vehicles. What does RFA think about the rationale EPA is applying there?
That's correct. The EPA in December of last year suggested that when they issue a waiver for E15 later this year, late summer is when that decision is expected, that waiver might only apply to newer vehicles with model year 2001 and newer. There's absolutely no scientific evidence that E15 will only work in newer vehicles. And we've heard directly from retailers who have said if they can't put E15 in every pump at their station, they're not likely to use E15 at all. Now, I think with the spread being what it is today, with the economics being what they are, you might see some blenders and retailers try to figure out how to use E15 and how to label pumps in such a way that consumers could pump E15 on some and E10 on others. But in general, I think a decision that would bifurcate the market and allow E15 only in certain vehicles and not in others really wouldn't help us move the demand needle all that much for ethanol, and the retailers have been very clear about that.
Now, while the fact that ethanol is a bargain right now, it is a good thing for consumers and for blenders and for retailers, it's not necessarily a good thing for ethanol producers. It looks like the margins have weakened. We're seeing returns go down. We're seeing prices go down. What could happen as far as the industry is concerned if we don't get this E15 waiver in before the blend wall closes in?
Well, certainly margins are very tight right now. And in the past, a spread of this magnitude, a 70 or 80 cent spread between ethanol and gasoline, would induce additional discretionary blending. You would see that type of price differential encourage blenders who previously hadn't used ethanol to start blending E10. we're in a situation where there aren't many opportunities left to expand discretionary blending. We are pushing up against that blend wall. And so, it seems likely that it's going to be difficult to put new products onto the market until we get approval for E15. And so I think producers could experience a rough patch here until we get approval for E15.
Well, what else can be done at this point to encourage EPA to take action on the waiver before it's too late?
The public comment period is over, and EPA heard resoundingly from the Midwest and heard from agriculture and other folks interested in seeing ethanol succeed. So in terms of public comment, there really isn't much opportunity left to let EPA know that moving to E15 is a necessity. What the industry is focused on now is ensuring that EPA has all of the latest research, the latest data available to make an informed decision about E15. We're working with the agency to provide information that suggests that there's no need to bifurcate the market and that E15 would work just as well in an older vehicle that's a vintage 1995 or in that era. E15 will work just as well in those vehicles as it will in newer vehicles.
Okay. Anything else you want to add?
The other thing I would add is you may have seen earlier this week that the Brazilian ethanol industry has launched an advertising campaign, and one of the pillars of that campaign is they are suggesting that Brazilian ethanol is always cheaper than U.S. grain-based ethanol, and that certainly is not the case currently. If you were to pull up to a gas station that offered E10 made with Brazilian ethanol and E10 made with corn ethanol, you'd pay 6 or 7 cents more for that E10 with Brazilian ethanol because Brazilian ethanol is significantly more expensive today than corn ethanol. We also want to make sure people understand the dynamic there and that they're not being duped by the Brazilian ad campaign.
All right. Thank you very much. That is Jeff Cooper with the Renewable Fuels Association on this ethanol report. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.